from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and news in brief. We'll continue our program for today with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Aniasana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia encourages the expansion of world's economic growth centers. Jakarta Geopolitical Forum is expected to produce future geopolitical breakthroughs. And now the news in detail. The Indonesian government initiated the formation of new economic centers in the world. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi on Wednesday in Jakarta explained that the spread of a new center of economic growth in the world would encourage economic equality while improving world welfare. Related to this, Retno explained, the Indonesian government is promoting the establishment of good communication between countries in the Pacific region with countries in the Indian Ocean coastal region. According to her, good relations between Pacific countries and the Indian Ocean coast, in addition to improving world welfare, it can also encourage peace between regions.
Dengan mengkonekkan antara Pacific dan Indian Ocean, yang kita harapkan adalah bahwa
by connecting between Pacific and Indian Ocean, we hope there will be the new growth in Indian Ocean rim. Because if it happens, the new economical growth center, it means that it will increase the welfare. And welfare must be connected with peace problems and others. Regarding to this matter, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that Indonesian government is currently conducting intensive communication not only with the Pacific countries and the Indian Ocean coast, but also with partner countries such as the United States, China, Russia, India, Australia, and Korea. In addition, she said Indonesia also built communication with ASEAN countries in the effort to develop the concept. She also stressed that cooperation between countries is an absolute thing that must be built compared to building competition between countries. The governor of the National Resilience Institute, or Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, on Wednesday in Jakarta hoped that the Jakarta Geopolitical Forum could encourage efforts to build geopolitical resilience in all regions of the world. He said the forum, which carried the theme Mapping the Future of Geopolitics, was also expected to create new breakthroughs in shaping the balance of interests between countries around the world. Agus Wijoyo also said that with the aim of encouraging global and regional geopolitical development, the forum, held for the second time, is expected to also be able to influence the changing world of governance.
While the purpose and objective of this forum is to provide a description of global and regional geopolitical developments, as well as the impact and influence on changes in the new world order or disorder, hopefully the result of this discussion can have an impact on our expectations to build a better world through establishing geopolitical resilience in all regions of the world, not only for the solution of critical issues, but also for creating a new breakthrough for shaping a new world by establishing a balance of interest rather than a balance of power.
The Jakarta Geopolitical Forum is organized by the National Resilience Institute of the Republic of Indonesia, or Lemhanas. This forum was attended by a number of geopolitical experts, both from within and outside the country. Some points discussed in the one-day forum included political economy, world peace and security, and humanitarian issues. Approximately 400 participants attended the forum discussing the future of the geopolitics in the world from various backgrounds, including academics, practitioners, bureaucrats, entrepreneurs, and politicians. The Jakarta Geopolitical Forum was officially opened by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Triakudu, after holding a meeting with Indian Defense Minister Nirmala Sitharaman at the Jakarta Ministry of Defense on Tuesday, said Indonesia and India would strengthen the two countries' defense cooperation. Ria Mizar Triakudu said the defense industry was one of the main topics in the meeting. Defense cooperation between Indonesia and India has a legal umbrella in the form of Defense Cooperation Agreement, or DCA, which was signed on January 11, 2011 in Jakarta. So I talked about the problem. One, how to deal with terrorism. 2. Natural disasters. 3. Maritime problems. 4. Defense industry issues. We will work together on defense industry issues because India's ability is quite good at defense industry issues. The Indonesian Minister of Defense, Ria Mizar Triakudu, also said that in the defense industry strategic cooperation, Indonesia appreciates the initiation of the Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, sent by Indian companies, Bharat Electronic Limited, to PT Land Indonesia. India hopes the MOU can be signed at the Indo-Defense, which will take place in November 2018 in Jakarta. In principle, the Ministry of Defense will continue to support efforts to strengthen the cooperation relationship between the two countries' defense industry. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Saudi Arabian Minister of Foreign Affairs Adel bin Ahmad Al Jubair held a bilateral meeting and joint commission meeting at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs office in Jakarta on Tuesday, October 23, 2018. In the meeting that has been planned for the past year, they discussed various matters relating to improving relations between the two countries, among others regarding the socialization of the values of peace and tolerance. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi during a joint press conference with Saudi Foreign Minister Adel bin Ahmad Al Jubair at the Pancasila Building, Jakarta, Tuesday, October 23rd.
Saya melakukan pertemuan komisi bersama dengan Menteri Luar Negeri Arab Saudi.
I held a joint commission meeting with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Saudi Arabia, Adel Al Jubair. This meeting was scheduled approximately a year ago as a follow-up to King Salman's visit to Indonesia in 2017. During the meeting, I and the Saudi Minister of Foreign Affairs Al Jubair discussed several things. Firstly, as two large Muslim countries, Indonesia together with Saudi Arabia, wanted to continue to work together to disseminate peace, tolerance, and peaceful conflict resolution. According to Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, peace in the Middle East will not be created without peace and independence in a Palestinian state that will coexist with Israel through two-state solution. In addition, Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi also explained that in her bilateral meeting with Foreign Minister Adel Al Jubair, they discussed about radicalism and terrorism as well as increasing the value of trade and investment of the two countries. The two ministers of foreign affairs also discussed various issues that have not been yet realized or pending issues, including the cooperation of the Aramco Pertamina Oil Company, health and the sending of health professionals, and on the protection of more than 600,000 Indonesian citizens who are registered working in Saudi Arabia. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia hosts the 8th meeting of ASEAN Ministers Responsible for Culture and Arts, or AMCA, which was preceded by the 14th ASEAN Senior Official Meeting for the Culture and Art and Related Meeting, SOMCA. In addition, the meeting is also attended by three ministers of ASEAN partner countries, namely China, Korea, and Japan. This biennial event is held in Yogyakarta on October 21st to October 26, 2018. This meeting carries the theme Embracing the Culture of Prevention to Enrich ASEAN Identity. The Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, in his speech at the opening of this meeting on Wednesday, October 24th in Yogyakarta, said the diversity of Indonesian culture was an Indonesian national identity. There are more than 300 ethnic groups in Indonesia with different sets of rules and cultural objects. According to Minister Muhajir, diversity is a valuable asset. For this reason, he hopes that this meeting can promote the unity of civilization in ASEAN. Initiation of the theme Embracing the ASEAN Culture of Prevention to Enrich ASEAN Identity and Yogyakarta Declaration. Indonesia sees that this forum is the right place to promote a unity civilization on a large scale. If ASEAN members can implement it, I believe that other countries will follow. Minister Muhajir further explained Indonesia has the four pillars of nationality, which is a unifying nation. The pillars are Pancasila, the five principles, and the state ideology, the 1945 constitution, the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, and the motto of unity in diversity. According to him, Pancasila creates unity in a pluralistic society as formulated in the slogan Unity in Diversity. In addition, the Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture said that Indonesia was ready to actively participate in the implementation of the ASEAN Declaration of Culture Prevention. This declaration aims to create peace, openness, awakening, health, and a harmonious society. The declaration was the result of the 31st ASEAN Summit in November 2017. Indonesia is hosting the 8th meeting of ASEAN Ministers Responsible for Culture and Arts AMCA and the 14th ASEAN Senior Official Meeting for Culture and Art and Related Meeting SOMCA. In addition to resulting Yogyakarta Declaration document, these meetings also increase cultural cooperation among ASEAN member countries. Indonesian Education and Culture Minister Muhajir Effendi, on the sidelines of the event to the media on Wednesday, October 24th in Yogyakarta, explained that there are several cooperation that will be resulted or elevated after the meeting. Through discussion and increasing cooperation, he hoped ASEAN can be accountable region in cultural sector.
Ini banyak skema yang akan kita kerjakan. Pertama yaitu tukar.
There are many schemes that we will be working on. First, we have artist exchange, then experience exchange, how to preserve and conserve intangible and tangible cultural heritage. We match several similar variants. Then ASEAN as a group of nations have an opportunity in cultural sector, also have identity approach one another. We can be an accountable regional power, especially in cultural sector. Minister Muhajir further explained that Indonesia is considered as the oldest brother because it has the largest population in ASEAN. Indonesia is the first country that gained independence in ASEAN. Indonesia also has huge area with abundant cultures. Therefore, Indonesia has to be forward in promoting ASEAN region, especially in cultural sectors. And the last item, Indonesian Tourism Ministry has prepared 100 billion rupiah a month or for Bali normalization process after Mount Agung eruption 2 months ago. Meanwhile, another 20 billion rupiah funds will also be disbursed for rehabilitation process and trauma healing in Lombok. Speaking to reporters after the tourism-friendly journalism movement at Hotel Saripan Pacific in Jakarta on Wednesday, October 24, 2018, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said that Bali has entered normalization seen from the international events that have successfully been held in Bali recently.
Yang kalau Bali sudah normalisasi, contoh paling mudah normalisasi dari international event. Jadi 12 sampai 14 Oktober kita sudah punya international event.
Well, Bali has entered normalization phase. The easiest example of normalization is an international event held on 12 to 14 of October. We have had an international event, the annual meeting of IMF World Bank meeting. Once it happened, that is the sign of normalization. Lombok is still in rehabilitation process. If Bali has 6 months to recover, I hope we can do it in 3 months with Lombok. Why 3 months? Because Bali cannot resist the industry in 3 months. Payments have to be paid, etc. All utility, water, electricity have to be used. Based on that experience, I ask all governments, stakeholders, and industries to do the rehabilitation, reconstruction in 3 months in Lombok. Palu is not included in the main tourism destination, and all activities is standard because there are not many tourists like in Bali and Lombok. So Lombok needs more trauma healing than Bali. For Lombok, we provide 20 billion rupiah for trauma healing. Arif Yahya added that the funds is taken from 2018 state budget and 2019 state budget planning. Arif Yahya explained that he did not want to take a risk, so he secured 30 billion rupiah for Bali normalization and Lombok rehabilitation. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia encourages the expansion of world's economic growth centers. Jakarta Geopolitical Forum is expected to produce future geopolitical breakthroughs. And listener, that's the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. This is Ania Sanah with today's commentary entitled New Agreement of Two Koreas to Realize Peace. Listener, October 25th will be a new chapter towards the reconciliation of two countries on the Korean Peninsula that have been hostile for decades. The step forward of the two nations separated by the war will be realized after North Korea and South Korea held talks 2 days ago. The talks, which also included the United Nations Command or UNC, were reported to have agreed on one important matter. Both Seoul and Pyongyang agreed to withdraw weapons and guard posts in Panmunjom. Panmunjom is an area designated as a joint security area or also called a city of armistice. The agreement agreed upon from the close meeting was an attempt by the two countries to further reduce tensions. Since the two countries in South Korea split, the agreement agreed upon from the close meeting was an attempt by the two countries to further reduce tensions. Since the two countries in Korea split due to the Korean War in 1950 until 1953. This encouraging step is a follow-up to the summit held last April. Previously, the army of the two countries, since the beginning of this month, had also begun to clear mines that were widely planted in the border area. The new step in the peace process has been officially announced by the South Korean Ministry of Defense. The official explanation also said that 2 days after troop withdrawals at the Panmunjom post, North Korea, South Korea and the United Nations Command would verify. From the agreement between the two governments and concrete steps taken, the international community may be more optimistic that the two Korean peace efforts will continue to progress. The two Korean people who are truly brothers can later visit each other more freely. Panmunjom, which is a border city, will no longer be a tense area. Peace measures that are very likely to eliminate or at least gradually reduce the economic sanctions imposed on North Korea are expected to encourage economic development and make people in North Korea more prosperous. How long will that hope be realized? We are still looking forward to the stages of the peace process. And listener, that's commentary. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from today's in the past as recorded in history. The first event is from 1929, where Black Thursday stock market crash on the New York Stock Exchange. The Wall Street crash of 1929, also known as Black Thursday, the great crash of the stock market crash of 1929 began on October 24, 1929, and was the most devastating stock market crash in the history of the United States. It was the most significant predicting indicator of the Great Depression when taking into consideration the full extent and duration of its after effects. The crash which followed the London Stock Exchange crash of September signaled the beginning of the 12 years Great Depression that affected all Western industrialized countries. Now we're moving on to 1945 or the founding of the United Nations. The United Nations is an intergovernmental organization tasked to promote international cooperation and to create and maintain international order. A replacement for the ineffective League of Nations, the organization was established on October 24, 1945, after World War II, in order to prevent another such conflict. At its founding, the UN had 51 member states. There are now 193. The headquarters of the UN is in Manhattan, New York City, and is subject to extraterritoriality. Further main offices are situated in Geneva, Nairobi, and Vienna. The organization is financed by assessed and voluntary contribution from its member states. Its objectives include maintaining international peace and security, promoting human rights, fostering social and economic development, protecting the environment, and providing humanitarian aid in cases of famine, natural disaster, and armed conflict. The UN is the largest, most familiar, most internationally represented, and most powerful intergovernmental organization in the world. The last event of today in history is establishment of the Indonesian Doctors Association October 24, 1950. IDI, or Indonesian Doctors Association, was founded 67 years ago, precisely on October 24, 1950. IDI is the only professional organization for doctors throughout Indonesia, as set forth in the Law of Medical Practice No. 29 of 2004. The medical organization originally started from an association called Vereniging van Indies Artsen in 1911. In 1948, a group of Indonesian doctors who serve as an organization for the struggle for independence was born. Based on the spirit of unity, the two medical organizations eventually merged and formed the Indonesian Doctors Association. On October 24, 1950, Dr. R. Soeharto, on behalf of the board, officially recorded the establishment of IDI. Since then, the date is set as IDI's birthday. Listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Alhamdulillah, setelah kejadian sekarang bahkan
Alhamdulillah, after disaster, people surrounding Galunggung can feel the result of their agriculture from their own natural resources. So it is better for blessing and more beneficial. And also the economic standard of society is also better. That was Saifullah testimony, head of Sukajadi Village, Cisayong District, Tasikmalaya Regency, West Java Province. Sukajadi Village is one of the villages which was directly affected by Mount Galunggung eruption. Oh. Eruption of volcano, which is 2,167 meters above the sea level, was very phenomenal in 1982. In the history, Mount Galunggung erupted in 1982. The last eruption has type volcanic vertical, like mushroom clouds of atomic bomb, reaching 20 kilometers to the sky, and was followed by pyroclastic burst of the fine dust which showered Bandung, Tasikmalaya, Garut, Cianjur, and another city in radius 100 kilometers. The negative impact of the eruption was felt by most people surrounding Mount Galunggung. They suffered due to the eruption for more than 1 year.
Tasik Utara lah khususnya, itu sangat berdampak negatif.
North Tasikmalaya especially has negative impact. Even several damage and destruction occurred for 1 year. For 1 year, there were no activities in some regions of the districts, such as Cisayong, Sukaratu, Padakembang, Leuwi Wisari, Singaparna. From 5 districts of 6 districts, its agricultural lands were collapsed for 1 year. Atang Supriyatna, farmer from Sukajadi village, Cisayong district, Tasikmalaya Regency, told about tense atmosphere when the eruption happened.
Pertama kelihatan mah malam Senin, jam 11 malam. Minggu malam Senin gitu kan. Kelihatan mah ada asap gitu kan.
Earlier on Monday evening, if I was not mistaken, at 11 p.m. on Sunday evening, there was seen smoke. At the time, general election would be conducted. I was at command post. I was on guard. I did not know that the mountain would erupt. Firstly, there was drizzle. So, when I was outside, wah, raining. When entering the post, I looked down and it was not wet. It was not water, otherwise dust. In the morning at the post, I came to the village, show from the west. Many people over there went down. When he said, the mountain erupted. At the time, it was not yet
just.
To the team, Saifullah completed the bitter story, which was experienced due to the eruption that kept erupting for 1 year.
Awal meletus itu, pertama letusan pertama itu tidak ada letusan. Hanya mengeluarkan asap itu hari Senin.
When erupting for the first time, Senin, there was no eruption. Only smoke on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday evening, the big eruption happened. So on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, big eruption happened. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday occurred overflow smoke and lava. There was no eruption. There were only thunder and fiber. If we stored water burst, it happened on Monday until Thursday. Around 18:30 after Maghrib, there was great eruption. It was Thursday evening. Disaster of Mount Galunggung eruption caused disadvantage. Around 1 billion rupiah and stopped farmers' activities for 5 years.
Tapi setelah 5 tahun, tahun 87 seolah-olah Galunggung bangkit dan berdampak.
But after 5 years in 1987, as if Galunggung awake and positive impact on agriculture also has positive impact on local people's economy at Galunggung region. It could be felt which was provincially collapsed. There was no life, especially for economy. after 5 years rose up. People under Mount Galunggung slope feel the benefits after the mountain erupted. In 1987, farmers began to reopen their agricultural land. It did not take long time when they realized that their land was more fertile after the eruption. Atang Supriyatna admitted it.
Kalau tanah mah dari dulu juga malah makin bagus kalau sekarang tanahnya itu. Kalau dulu kan rata-rata per hektar di
our agriculture lands is more fertile. In the past, 1 hectare land only produced around 4 tons, sometimes 4.5 tons. Today, it is better. Here, the land calculates per plot. So, 100 rice field plots can produce 8 quintals, minimal 7 quintals. If it is calculated, 1 hectare is 700 plots. 7 times 7 equal 49. There is an increase. In the past, it was only 4 tons. Now, it's becoming 49 tons. The structure of the land has been good. Its pH increases. The change of the land structure was explained by Enang Ruspandi, head of Agricultural Counseling Office of Cisayong District, Tasikmalaya Regency. Enang, who works at field in his daily life and give counseling to the farmers, said that Galunggung Das has many elements which are needed by land to increase productivity, either agriculture or vegetable.
Sampai dengan sekarang itu terjadinya fenomena alam, kalau kita gali lihat daripada kandungan daripada debu galung itu kan ada kandungan yang disebut debu vulkanologi atau unsur-unsur hara yang sangat dibutuhkan.
Until now, natural phenomenon happens. If we dig the content of Galunggung dust, there is vulcanology dust or hara elements which are very needed. Micro element is needed by plant. One of them is manganese, V or iron, magnesium, sulfur that supports may develop the plants growth because those micro elements are very needed by plant, even though in small quantity. In this regard, there is impact on the plants. Before Mount Galunggung erupted, I interviewed the farmers that 1 hectare land only produced 5.9 and increased to be 6.3 by applying technology. Galunggung Das does increase not only the quantity for the agriculture product, but also the quality of the product. Even Galunggung rice is well known until abroad.
Sebelum ada Galunggung itu produksinya biasa-biasa aja, tetapi setelah ada Galunggung itu meningkat kualitas beras pun juga membaik. Beras Galunggung yang diproduksi beras dari air Galunggung itu
before Galunggung erupted, beras its premium. Product was normal. But post eruption, the product increase.
Berasnya itu
rice quality is also better.
Itu merek
Galunggung rice,
beras
which is produced from Galunggung water,
mana
is premium.
Ada sebagian beras
one,
dari sini.
So
dari
that price of the rice
cuma
is quite
orang
satisfying. If you do not believe the brand mart of Cianjur rice at supermarket, most of the product
sekian.
Is from here, Cisayong. It is good quality
Cianjur.
Of the rice. The soaking rice here from 1 quintal reaches 50 until 60 kilograms. Normally, the soaking rice can produce much. If used, fertilizer is suitable and balanced. Quality of the Rice of Cisayong Regency received international certification from Institute Market Ecology Organization or IMO. Organic Food Certification Council is from Swiss and has given certificate to more than 300 farmer groups throughout the world that produce a number of organic plants.
Nah, ada yang kami produksi khususnya dari Cisayong, umumnya karena digabung satu kabupaten.
Itu we produce organic rice, especially from Cisayong, generally from 31 regencies. We have exported tons of organic rice, and even hundreds of tons. Its name is Gapokan Simpatik, which has been exported to Germany, the United States of America, and Swiss. Australia. There are three types of rice which are exported. They are red rice, black rice, white rice. Those types of rice are organic. Why can the rice be exported? Because the rice has been certificated by IMO. IMO is an international certification agency, so the rice can be sold abroad. Without certification label, the rice cannot be exported.
Alhamdulillah dengan adanya letusan Galunggung itu fenomena alam.
Alhamdulillah, because of the eruption of Mount Galunggung, Cisayong villagers enjoy positive impact. The increase of the product is around 5-7%. The blessing is felt by the farmers, as told by Atang Supriyatna.
Kan dulu mau akan ada yang kelaparan kan di kita di sini mah nggak ada. Neng mau makan di bapak silahkan.
It is better now. In the past there were people who starved. In the past harvest season was only twice a year. In here harvest is three times a year. Take for example, 100 plots can produce 1 ton. If three times a year, it means 3 tons. In the past, it was only 2 tons. Twice, isn't it? Alhamdulillah, it was enough for residents to eat twice or three times. Blessing. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Nah, itulah riwayat Galunggung, tapi alhamdulillah setelah kejadian sekarang.
That was history of Galunggung, but alhamdulillah after the event, even residents surrounding Galunggung can feel the agriculture products from their own natural resources sendiri, and bring about more benefit bagus, and the economic standard for residents is better. What was delivered by Safulo, head of Sukajadi Village, reminds us that in life, human beings often face various kinds of unexpected events. Some of them feel sadder, but from those events, the God Almighty appears wisdom, which is worth to be thankful as it is now enjoyed by residents around Mount Galunggung.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. The Indonesian government initiated the formation of new economic centers in the world. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi on Wednesday in Jakarta explained that the spread of a new center of economic growth in the world would encourage economic equality while improving world welfare. The governor of National Resilience Institute, or Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, on Wednesday in Jakarta hoped that the Jakarta Geopolitical Forum could encourage efforts to build geopolitical resilience in all regions of the world. He said the forum, which carried the theme Mapping the Future of Geopolitics, was also expected to create new breakthroughs in shaping the balance of interests between countries around the world. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Triakudu, after holding a meeting with Indian Defense Minister Nirmala Sitharaman at the Jakarta Ministry of Defense on Tuesday, said Indonesia and India would strengthen the two countries' defense cooperation. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Saudi Arabian Minister of Foreign Affairs Adel bin Ahmed Al Jubeir held a bilateral meeting and joint commission meeting at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs office in Jakarta on Tuesday, October 23, 2018. Indonesia hosts the 8th meeting of ASEAN ministers responsible for culture and arts, AMCA, which was preceded by the 14th ASEAN senior official meeting for the culture and arts and related meeting, SOMCA. In addition, the meeting is also attended by 3 ministers of ASEAN partner countries, namely China, Korea, and Japan. In addition to resulting the Jakarta Declaration document, the ASEAN ministers responsible for culture and arts, AMCA, and the 14th ASEAN senior official meeting for culture and art and related meeting also increased cultural cooperation among ASEAN member countries. And the last item, Indonesian Tourism Ministry has prepared 100 billion rupiah a month for Bali normalization process after Mount Agung eruption 2 months ago. Meanwhile, another 20 billion rupiah funds will also be disbursed for rehabilitation process and trauma healing in Lombok. And listeners, that's News in Brief.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Saya Senang, or in English, I'm happy or I'm glad, so stay tuned. Next, I will give you an example of conversation about Saya Senang, or in English, I'm happy. Tony and Joko's family are traveling to Parangtritis. Tony is enjoying sunset.
Aku senang bisa melihat matahari terbenam di sini.
Wah, syukurlah kamu senang.
After the conversation, I will introduce some expressions related to the topic today. Saya senang, or in English, I'm happy. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Saya senang. Saya senang. In English, I'm happy. Saya bisa melihat matahari terbenam. Saya bisa melihat matahari terbenam. In English, I can see sunset. Di sini. Di sini. In English, here. Syukurlah kamu senang. Syukurlah kamu senang. I'm glad that you are happy. In a dialogue, you listened that Tony expressed his happiness by saying, Aku senang bisa melihat matahari terbenam di sini. The expression, saya senang, in the context, is used to dedicate happiness. Let's follow some other examples. Saya senang bertemu kalian di sini. Saya senang bertemu kalian di sini. Aku senang pergi ke pantai dengan kalian. Aku senang pergi ke pantai dengan kalian. In a daily conversation, Indonesian people usually say the word senang with pronunciation seneng. An expression aku seneng is the same with aku senang or saya senang. Next, if you feel relieved, you can say syukurlah. For example, syukurlah kamu baik-baik saja. Syukurlah dia selamat. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Aku senang bisa melihat matahari terbenam di sini.
Wah, syukurlah kamu senang.
The exercise for today is to describe the disease you have suffered by mentioning name of the disease, when, how long have you been sick, where did you take for treatment, and etc. For example, nama saya Danu. Saya pernah sakit gigi 2 bulan yang lalu selama 2 minggu. Saya merasa pusing dan berobat di rumah sakit Medika. Saya harus minum obat 3 kali sehari. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Music Corner, a segment which presents you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. For today's Music Corner, I will present you some beautiful songs from Dira Sugandi, an Indonesian singer who has received many achievements. She has ever held collaboration with some international artists such as David Foster, Kate Martin, Andrea Bocelli, and Diane Warren. The singer, who was graduated from vocal performance of Pelita Harapan University, actively performed jazz music in foreign countries with world jazz musicians such as Incognito, a band from England. To initiate our segment of Music Corner, let's listen to a nostalgic pop song from Dira Sugandi featuring J Flo entitled Unbeatable. Happy listening.
I'm not afraid to die. feeling stronger. Clap your hands. I can hear that hole in the universe. I can hear the joy that you deserve. I'm singing loud. If you're feeling lonely, tag your friends. Let's take it higher now.
You give me the fire.
Listeners, you have just listened to the song entitled Unbeatable by Dira Sugandi featuring Jay Flo. The song was one of the official songs of the Asian Games 2018. Her duet performance at closing ceremony of Asian Games last September got appreciation among spectators and people who watched the event. Moreover, South Korean boy band Super Junior or Suju invited Dira to collaborate. It was not the first time for Dira to draw attention of international communities. The singer with complete name Dira Julianti Sugandi has a shining talent since she was childhood. Since she entered musical industry in 2000, Dira Sugandi has also ever collaborated with international musicians such as Jason Mraz and David Foster. In 2010, she released an album Something About the Girl, one of titles of the album No More Tears. It's mostly liked by jazz fans in England and Japan. Well, listeners, let me dedicate you to the song from Dira Sugandi entitled No More Tears. Enjoy the song.
I'm through. No more tears.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.